This morning, amen, amen. Good to be saved, amen. About it, especially the way things are going today. Okay, let's look at this verse and one verse here in Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 14. This is kind of the basis of my message today. Let me read it to you. Ecclesiastes 7, 14 says, "In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversary, consider God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him." Now, this book was written by Solomon about man's wisdom under the sun. So I got to be careful about that. Lots of this book shows selfish and wasteful living, which is kind of the theme of my message today. So pay up attention, folks. A lot of good learning advice is from this. So my title of this message is, What a Believer Can Lose. What a Believer Can Lose. And I'm going to subtitle this, My Friend Richard. My Friend Richard. Now, talks about, I'll get that in a little bit, talks about adversary, and it's an event or series or events which oppose success or desire, misfortune, calamity, affliction, distress. It's a state, folks, of unhappiness. And that's kind of contrary to what we want. We all want to be happy, right? The state of unhappiness. In my experience in life, I notice that 98% of the problems I have is a knucklehead looking in the mirror. And our 2% is my wife, okay? Okay, you got to have a percent on there, you know? One of the best things to learn, good or bad, is from others, and particularly the Scripture. The Scripture really, folks, is one of our best learning tools for life. You could be a good example, or you can be a bad example. The message today is a great example of being a bad example and seeing how unwise decisions lead to adversary and tragedy. And hopefully, folks, listen, we can learn from these things. I'm here to help you. That's a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you very much for an opportunity to look into your Scripture and look at some examples, look at some experiences, Father, that just show the Bible is still true and alive. I pray, Father, folks here that maybe dealing with some of these things, or they know somebody that is, that maybe you pricked their heart to maybe to talk about these things or to come to you and just be honest with you. And I pray, Lord, be able to move and work through this message, Father, and we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me talk to you about my friend. His real friend. His name is Richard. And it's how what happened in his life shows you the Scripture, how true it is, and what can happen, sadly enough. He was born on May 4, 1953. He had three siblings. And I'll kind of tell you this little story here. He was born of three siblings. He was the youngest of three. And he had a God-given ability of athletics. Sometimes people have that, you know, I'm not the one, but some people have good ability of athletics. And his dad was a salesman for Ball Pen, and he had some resources. And he would take his Richard out, and he was a great speed skater. Now, I don't understand speed skating, but it takes a lot of energy to be a speed skater. And it takes a lot of time because you go to the ice and skate. It costs a lot of money to do that. And Richard lived in West Chicago, Wheaton area, and in the 70s, he would regularly beat the speed skater that won the Olympics. And the only reason why Richard didn't go to the Olympics is because, unfortunately, his dad passed away, unexpectedly with a heart attack. And so, obviously, the resources stopped, and Richard kind of had to take over and be kind of the father of that family. His older sister had gotten married, having children. His other brother went to the military, and he was left here alone caring for his mother. And Richard never really got married because he would be at home taking care of his mother, and then his mother had a stroke, so there was obviously he had to be home. Now, let me tell you about Richard's testimony of salvation. He was a trailblazer in the long-term care industry and financial industry, and he met a man named Robert Van Kampen. How many ever heard of Robert Van Kampen? Okay, well, I'm going to give you a little bit of church history. So you learn some church history. Robert Van Kampen, let me tell you about Robert Van Kampen. I pulled this information right from Wikipedia. Robert Van Kampen, 1938 to 1999, a businessman and member of various organizations, boards of businesses, and a world and a Christian ministry. Van Kampen business career took him into the investment banking world, and he became one of the wealthiest men in the United States after founding investment banking firm Van Kampen Merritt in 1974. In the 1990s, Van Kampen developed what is known today in the evangelical Christian's eschatology as pre-wrath rapture position, authorizing 3 books on the subject. This is real important about little church doctrine. He was a graduate of Wheaton College, 1960. Now, you and I know Wheaton College wouldn't be your foundation of good biblical truth, but he was a saved man. And he got into business and became obviously a very wealthy man. According to this article, he worth $7 billion. That's quite a man. And so Rich was working for him, and he was visiting him in a place called the Morton Mansion. This is in West Chicago. Morton Salt Company, you heard of that? Well, Van Kampen bought that Morton Mansion on 27 acres. And Richard obviously walked into a place like that, seeing a successful man, rich, unsaved. And Robert started talking about things of the Lord. And think about it. When you have a position, if God puts you in a position, use your position to glorify the Lord. And Robert Van Kampen tell him about this means nothing here. The real treasure up in heaven. And so obviously he had Richard's attention. And Robert Van Kampen witnessed to him. And Richard told me he was on his knees trusting the Lord after telling him he's a sinner and he's going to go to hell and kind of put a little fear. Fear is good. And he trusted the Lord right there in Robert Van Kampen's Morton Mansion there in West Chicago. And he worked for him for a while. And he's telling me go to his little Morton Mansion, and because he had resources and some lawyers behind him, he paid no tax on the property. He had like zebras or some wild animals and called it a game preserve. Kind of sad they do that, you know? The big guys don't pay any taxes, you know, because they have all the ins and outs. So you go to his mansion, and there'd be a gazelle eating some food there, you know? And then he went to his church, and it was in West Chicago. It was kind of a John MacArthur type of a church, you know, kind of Calvinistic. Now, you know, obviously, if you're in Wheaton College, you're not grounded well. Went to Wheaton College and got to the John MacArthur church, not really grounded too well. And here's what happened to Richard. He got hurt in his Christian armor. He's all excited for the Lord. There was some immorality going on in the church. Now, you're a new believer. And I think I don't know if it was the pastor's daughter or a pastor or a deacon, whatever it is, but there were kind of a lot going on. And that kind of hurt Richard. That's why no man liveth or dieth to himself. And that's the problem sometimes, you know, of a young person. You know, you're watching a man, and we all fall. We're all not perfect. And that kind of just hurt his Christian armor, he told me. And he's seen it. He goes, well, I can't believe people would do this being Christians. That was the first ding he warned me. He told me in his Christian armor. And then he lent Richard, I think, $30,000 or $40,000 to a Christian friend. Thinking, oh, I'll get paid back. And the guy never paid back a penny. And that just kind of bothered him. You know why? He lent the guy some money, says he's a Christian, didn't pay him back. That just, like, you know, always bothered Richard. You know, guys, this is a Christian. And Richard was the kind of guy that took pride in his word. If you owe someone some money, pay him, man. I mean, they're easier to forgive. They forgive you. You're the one who's going to pay for it one day, sooner or later. And then, so what happened was, because of all the morality going on in the church, Bob, he was following Bob Van Kampen there. And obviously, Bob Van Kampen was a big giver there, obviously, right? You know, being very wealthy. So what happened to him is he decided to leave. He got involved with that pre-wrath stuff. That's very important to get that, folks, because Bob Van Kampen funded this Marvin J. Rosenthal. You heard about that? That's that pre-wrath rapture of the church. And that's bad doctrine. And instead of what happens, they're kingdom builders. They believe we're going to go through tribulation. So Van Kampen left, and he started buying property in Michigan. Same thing happened to Ken Hovind. You know who Ken Hovind is? Ken Hovind went to jail, got a hold of this book, this pre-wrath Marvin Thal book, and he got messed up doctrinally. I don't hand his material on anymore. Now he's got a ministry, I think it's in Alabama, I think it is, something like that. And he's building a compound waiting for the building of tribulation. That's just a bad deal. I mean, see how that's real important, that bad teaching? Well, it was Van Kampen that funded Rosenthal that got that book out that led my buddy to the Lord. And then, so what happened to Van Kampen is in 1999, he had a heart attack and passed away. Now, that got Dick Walker kind of out of the Lord, away from the Lord. And this is where I met him in 2000. So that's what happened to him. I met him in 2000. Dick was not going to church. And I met him. I go, hey, Dick, come on, you know, get back in fellowship with the Lord. And he did. And this is where we became friends. And we hired him in our business for long-term care planning and medical supplements. And Dick gets back into the Lord, and he's growing. He has that joy. He's giving, his health. Matter of fact, when my old church I went to, I hate doing this, but they made me count the money. I hate doing that, you know. And we always have an offering. Dick is always the number one giver there. I like that. I mean, you know what, though? You can tell a person by what they spend their time and their money. Amen? Look at their day timer and their checkbook. I have to follow you right. I know where your heart's at. Your checkbook and your day timer. What are you doing, spending your time, and what are you spending your money on, folks? That's the real deal. And I go, I kind of like that. We had an offer for a van or something, a missionary. Dick was always number one or two giver there. I kind of same thing, but I go, ah, guy, I like that. I just knew he had a heart for the Lord. Now, here's where things start going bad. Mistake number one, Richard meets an unsaved gal. Oh, man, you know things are going bad here, folks. Her name is Heidi. He meets her. Folks, 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion had light with darkness? There's five yokes there. Dick embraced unbiblical worldly pleasures instead of biblical truth. Folks, bad deal. See, that fornication, the church put an armor in that armor he had. Then a Christian offended him. He kind of got away from the Lord. Comes back again. This is the Christian life here, you know. Getting back in things. And he met a lady unsaved. Very, very sad. So I can remember the day I stood in Dick Walker's condo in 2006. And he's telling me he's moving in with this gal. Dick Walker told me over a period of time, I was best friend. That's tough. You know why? I got pressure now. He's my best friend. He called me his best friend. You know, I'm like, oh, man. And I'm obligated now, you know? You know, women like hearing that, but men sometimes, you know, we're not like, you know, hugging all that stuff. You know what I mean? But so he's telling me, and I could tell you, look at me. I could tell you the square I was standing on, he's telling me. Look at the position he was in. He was single. He had health. He had a condo free and clear in Wheaton. It overlooked a nice golf course. He had French doors, one to his bedroom, one to his living room, paid for. We had done a real big transaction. I gave him a Cadillac. Believe it or not, I gave him a Cadillac De Elegance, pearl white, because he was a big guy. He was a big guy. And he was sitting in his garage, paid for. And he had money's coming in. I go, Dick, please don't do this. Well, I'm over there. I remember him begging him, don't do this. Now, here's what Richard loses. This is a sad story, folks. I told you it'd be a negative story. It's a sad story. First thing Dick loses, he loses his fellowship. With who? The Lord. Remember last time I read you those verses about fellowship? Well, I left off at 1 John chapter 6. Let's look at 1 John chapter 8 right here. It says here, 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. What is the truth? The Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, the Holy Spirit's in us, but the Word of God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all righteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So he lost, number one, his fellowship. And what that means, he quit reading the word. If you ask anybody about where they are spiritually, ask them, are you spending time in the word? Right? They're not. If they're not spending time in the book, you know, they're on a downward. I go, Richard, you spend time in the word. Well, Rick, spend time in the book. That's that fellowship you have where the Lord's speaking to you, right? And that was number one, he lost fellowship. Two, he lost his testimony. In Genesis 19, 14, remember we have that example of Lot where the angel told him, hey, they're going to destroy this city. And he couldn't even tell his own sons about that. How sad of a deal. Your own sons wouldn't believe you. He lost his testimony. Matter of fact, he lost his desire for winning the souls. That's what happens too. You kind of don't care about souls. And I'll tell you a story about that. The brother that he had, it was the military. When he got back, he was all messed up on drugs. And when his mom passed away, he was a trustee of those monies, and he was such messed up on drugs, he would only piecemeal money. And one of those days, his brother was in the hospital he fell, he was so drunk in the shower. He was getting out. I go, let me go talk to your brother. Let me just talk to him. I mean, I'll give him a good gospel station. You know, he's getting out of the hospital. He's doing better. He's in rehab. He'll be out next week on Monday. That was a Friday in my driveway. What happened on Saturday or Sunday that day? He was doing better in the hospital, but, you know, he was kind of a pain in the tail, kind of a lad. And he was complaining to the nurses, and they gave him tranquilizers to kind of shut him up. And they gave him so many tranquilizers that when he choked on his food and died in the hospital. That probably in hell, his brother. And I never talked about that. He knew that I should have saw him. And I should have saw him too. If I had known that, hindsight, go. When the Lord tells you to go, go. I'll be out on Monday. I'll talk about Monday. Monday never came along. He lost his fellowship. He lost his testimony. He lost his health. In 1 Corinthians 11, 29 to 30, it says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you. So here what happened is, the Lord's fellowship in doing these things, his health. That fancy calc I gave him, he's driving somewhere, out on the cell phone, wasn't paying attention, hit a parked car, totaled the car out and broke his neck. And I mean, he just immeasurable pain. And he because he didn't have, you know, I don't think a good insurance program, I mean, the insurance companies and doctors are eating him up with finances. Just eating him up with finances. His health is bad. His car is wrecked. He's just in bad shape. Be careful. Lord, take away your wealth. Proverbs 23:5, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For witches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as eagle towards heaven. This girl that he met was a high maintenance girl. Now, you know what I'm saying, folks? Her husband divorced her. Alimony was $200,000 a month and running out. You know what she's looking for? Someone that fiddling that $200,000. I go, Rich, you're not a sugar daddy. I mean, she's at $200,000 a year, lives in a big house. I mean, she hasn't worked. You're going to want to fill that out. And if that was running out, Dick comes in. Dick sold that nice property and gave the money to add it to that house just to lower the mortgage on it. And he's just burning through his resources. And he come talk to me. He goes, Tim, what can I do? Because he couldn't get back out again. His money was stuck in here. And just draining it and draining it with the health problems he's having, draining the assets. And I'm watching them do this, his health, his finances, his fellowship, all that just going. It's just bad. Dick also questioned his salvation. You question the assurance of your salvation. Think about that. You're not in the Word, right? God's not talking to you. These things are going on, and you're losing your fellowship with the Word. Last time I read you 1 John 1:32. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. See that? And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So here we are, because you're having fellowship with the Lord, you have that assurance. I mean, the assurance is based on what he did for you. But if you look at things of the world, things go strangely dim. And what happens is he's losing his salvation. I can tell. I go, it's based on what, remember what you did with the Van Campen and the house there? It's all his part. But he started even having those types of things happening. What Dick lost, folks, is that joy. That joy. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Remember when David sinned, he wanted to get restored? His joy was not there. Folks, listen to me. When he'd come over to my house, he would tell me what's going on. It was terrible things going on. He would have his girlfriend's son in the house, they would be having drinking and drug parties in the basement. And she let him do it. I go, what are you doing, Dick? But it wasn't his house. You see that? He wasn't in charge of the house. She goes, well, if they go somewhere else, I don't know where they'll be. They're right here in the house. I go, you can't do that. Somebody gets hurt or something, or his friends, they're going to come after you. You're going to be a problem. And he'd go after the party's over with. He'd go downstairs and clean up the beer bottles and the drugs and all that stuff. It was terrible. Well, you know what happened? That son was coming back from an all-night party. He's driving on the highway, and I don't know what he thought. There was a parked semi on the highway. Somehow he got behind it and hit it at full speed, and this car went under the car. And he got completely beheaded. Boom. That's the son. Imagine that knock, folks, on that door. The police came over. He was there. She was bewildered. Losing your son. The lost fellow. Amen. Imagine that knock from the police at 8 o'clock in the morning. She'd be weeping, crying. I mean, you know, Dick's sitting there. Where could he go? Just, he's in this environment. She built like a monument in the backyard, because he liked playing hockey, like a $2,000 monument with all this stuff. Just on the anniversary of his death, she would go to the grave and just lay on it and cry for hours. How sad. He's telling me this. I'm just shaking my head. I go, Dick, what do you do? But that joy that he used to have when he was walking with the Lord and be laughing and giving and fellowshipping and singing. He was just miserable. That to lose the joy and fellowship, all these things I mentioned, the fellowship, testimony, health, wealth, joy, those are things upon this earth. I'll get into things that in a minute, what you can lose there. Those are things you don't want to lose, folks. Listen to me. Don't want to lose these things. You can now lose, you know what? Eternal things. You can lose eternal things. In 1 Corinthians 3, 13, 15, it says, you can lose rewards and crowns. This is the come, folks. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for that day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work Abel to which he had built thereof, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, it shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There you go. This is the scariest day for believers, folks. I mentioned earlier, Paul, the judgment seat of Christ. I tell people, Christians, can you imagine standing outside your home or apartment or condo and watching it burn down? That'd be a sad day if it ever happened. Well, that's going to happen with your life. And what will be left will be either wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, precious. That's it. All is going to burn away. And it got a pile of junk here, or gold, silver, precious stones. Dick's losing all this. There's crowns we can get. You understand there's five crowns in 1 Corinthians 9:25. There's the incorruptible crown for containing and subduing your flesh. Richard ain't getting that one. 2 Thessalonians 2:19, the crown of rejoicing for souls that you have part in winning the Lord. Richard probably ain't get any of those. James 1:12, Revelation 2:12, the crown of life for enduring temptations and being faithful to the Lord. Those are what God promises you. His word is true. How about 1 Peter 5:4, the shepherd's crown, given to those, generally pastors maybe, to those who feed, lead, and protect the flocks, given to in pastoral care. There's an extra crown for them. There's also the crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy 4:8, for loving and appearing of the Lord and his return. What does it say in Revelation 22:12? And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. Are you going to get yours? Are you going to get a crown? Hey, that's not salvation. That's a free gift. It's done deal, right? But it's, what do you do after that? Dick, we call him Dick, Richard. He lost rewards. He lost some crowns. You want to hear these words. Seven words. It says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, right? Now, maybe that's in Matthew, and you can rightly divide it. Maybe say that's for the Jews and coming out of tribulation. But hey, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Those are good words, right? Seven words. We like hearing words here at home. Your wife saying, honey, I love you very, very much, right? Those are good words to hear. And we like hearing these five words. Says, pay to the order of and our name, right? Amen. A good five right here. So those are all good words I like to hear. Some are temporal, but some are eternal. Amen? But those are good words to hear, right? Good words, especially when spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, being someone you love, being someone giving you money. They're all good words. That's why the words are so important. Dick lost his rewards and crowns in fraternity, and he lost some of millennial inheritances. Colossians 3:23 to 24. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. There you go. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who we serve. He is the one that we serve. Now, I remember with Richard, he was in a loop. You get this kind of sin, it's doing the same thing over and over. You get that? I mean, it's like people are in this rut. They cannot get out of a rut. You know what insanity is, definition of? It's doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting the same result, right? Let me give you an illustration of that you remember this. Some of you guys don't like to go fishing and hunting. And we go to Canada moose hunting. And man, it's a great time to get out in Canada moose hunt. We go to these flying places where they fly us in and drop us off. And we can't return to this one place that we went the year before. And we go moose hunting. And they fly us out at the end of the week. And when they came to get us, these moose weigh 1,000 pounds, you know. These are not small animals. And so when the guy came in to fly us out on this like little pontoon plane, he goes, "Hey, man, there's four of you. There's all this gear and these moose. I might be able to get you out of here because they have to weigh the plane down. It don't take out, you know, do well." And I go, "Hey, the guy last year that was here had the same plane. I think it was a Beechcraft. Same people, same amount of animals. He's able to pack us up like you're here and take off. And these bush pilots are kind of cocky. If that guy's doing it, I'm doing it, you know." So I'm putting like one moose on one pontoon, they're quartered, the other one on the other pontoon, and we got all our gear in there, and we got our, I'm in the front seat. But Myers are in the back, three buddies, and we gets back on the plane here, and he's trying to catch, going off the water, bouncing. I'm hanging on for dear life. And sure enough, he takes off right near the end. We clear this first part of the trees. There's the trees. We hit it with the pontoon. It shifted. He lost weight, and down we went. I got the scar right here when we crashed. See right here, the scar right here? You see right here? Boom, down we went. Moose burger everywhere. Unbelievable. I'm getting out of the plane, and the pilot, he's beside himself, and he goes, and I'm saying, I can't believe it. He goes, can you believe it? I go, "Hey, we only crashed 200 yards further than we crashed last year." The point being is, doing the same thing over and over is insanity. That's where Dick was, folks. That's where I see, and it's, that's why if you know somebody, tell them. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Tell them. Don't get in this spot. Do not get in this spot. In late 2016, trying to get a hold of Richard, I knew he was home. Calling him, his girlfriend took off and visited her one of her kids, other son she had in Tennessee. I know he's there. Wasn't doing real well at all physically. So me and Gene went over to the house, and we're knocking on the door. And so I went to the neighbor's house, and she was able to get us in because they had a little code pad on the garage. So we get in there, nice fancy home. It's hot in there, smelly in there. I seen little animal feces laying around there. I'm, Dick. I go upstairs, and there he's in bed. What a putrid thing that I seen. Pretty sad. He has this mask on, but he can't breathe. What they call that, CPAP machines, whatever it is. There's puke and vile stains on the floor. It's the middle of the afternoon. He's in bed. Just completely, yeah, Tim, how you doing, man? You know, Gene was there. What can I do for you? Should I take you to the hospital? Oh, no, don't take me to the hospital. They're going to give me machines and pills. And don't worry about me. I go, what can I do for you? You know, what can you do for something like that? You know? I left. I pray for him. I go, can I get you anything? Well, 2 weeks later, I'm at a client's house, and phone's ringing. I see Dick Walker. I shut it off. Ringing again. Shut it off. Ringing again. I better answer the phone. Hello? It says, Heidi. This morning, Dick went to get him, wake him up, and he died. Dick Walker lost his fellowship, his testimony, his health, his wealth, his assurance salvation, his joy, his rewards, his crowns, and his life. Let me read the last part of this verse here that I left off in 1 Corinthians 11:30. It says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, comma, and many sleep." That's dead. That happened to Dick. I mean, to going from me standing in his condo on that square where I can take you today, to where this was a 10-year period of time. It didn't happen overnight. The Lord was trying to be gracious to him and try to extend him. I know, I go, the Lord, I mean, the Lord, I could see it. I could see him just struggling. It's tough to see a friend or a fellow member struggling. I go, all you got to do, Dick, is just go get back to the Lord. Just get back in his word. Just tell him you're sorry. Just, you know, tell him. Tell the Lord. He knows. And he's just shaking his head. He felt he was in a rut. He could never get out here. If any man defile the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3:17, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye? Now, the temple, being the body, think it's a saved man. If you're saved today, he is saved as you and I. That does not affect our salvation. It's a free gift. Now, our fundamentals friends out here, you know, they would say, oh, you ain't living right, you can't be saved. You know, hear all that. I don't know if you're saved or not, but right away, if you ain't living right, you can't be saved. Well, then you're saying your living has to do with salvation. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and you've trusted him born again, you're saved. But your life just can take lots of turns, and for the better or for the worse. This is a bad one. You know, kind of interesting side note to things. As we would see some clients, I know Dick wanted to find a girl, a wife. He never married that girl. He moved in with her. Kind of interesting. He gave her a ring. They wanted to get rings. She wanted to give him a ring so she'd go out there. He gave her a CZ ring. It's almost a diamond. And I would have been there one day when she went to go cash in one day, find out it's a CZ, you know. You know, I think paid $200. I wonder what happened there, you know. Oh, look. Oh, I finally got a diamond ring from Richard, but he just couldn't afford it. What's interesting is, as we saw clients, we saw this a Christian couple, and Dick would always tell us his story sometimes about salvation. And, you know, he was passionate because he cared for his mother. And that's a big thing. Honor thy parents, right? The first commandment of promise, thou will live long upon the face of the earth. And you got to give the guy credit. Dick Walker, and my daughter knows him, right? My wife, he gave you the shirt off his back. He was the kind of person he sat down with, was a great guy. He really had a good heart. It's really, you know, some people are just kind of hard to deal with, but he's just a real good guy. And people liked him in the business. And one of those clients that we've seen, she called me, while Dick was having this mess, and her husband has passed, and she kind of was asking about Dick, because, you know, he knew Dick was single. I think she's looking for a wife. So I said, well, Dick's not available right now, you know. But I remember, here I am on the side here. You know what happened? That might have been a good gal for Dick. She was a good, solid believer. She's good looking. And you know what happened? About a year later, her dad died, owned some gas station. She got about $6 million. Now, that's only temporal. But you know what, though? You get $6 million, you ain't getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning going to the salt mines. Or you're not getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to milk cows. You have cows, your hired hands milking the cows. Amen? You get that? So I'm just saying that is, hey, if he would have hung in there, just maybe the Lord might have given him a nice wife. I don't know. I'm like, you know what, though? Here I am going, hey, you know what? Boy, that's too bad. He missed that one. Who knows the things and the blessings that you miss by not walking with the Lord? It's unbelievable. I know it. Finding out things later. Okay. You can lose a lot of things. Can't lose salvation. Second Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and had given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, according reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's what we're in. Where God is reconciling us to him, and we're in the business, I'd say, of reconciling us to each other and restore people. And that's what kind of what we're here, our life. The Bible-believing mission is a tough position. You know why? Here we try to win the loss, and that's a whole different thing, getting harder what's going on today, right? I mean, people aren't coming saved like in the old days in the 80s, right? I mean, think about that. And then you've got discipling people, trying to get them right, good teaching, good doctrine. That's a tough thing today, right? And then you're trying to, on our other side, the people that are away from the Lord, trying to help them out. So it's a threefold ministry: win the loss, discipling, help people out with bad doctrine. I mean, it's a lot of work. But there's always something to do along these lines. The Lord might be putting someone in your life that needs some help, folks, some reconciliation. And that's from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's getting back into the Word and helping them. You may have some things going on in your mind now. Maybe some young folks there that thinking about some things. Maybe you'll try some things that aren't biblical. Don't do it. Don't do it. Remember my friend Richard. Remember him. Remember my friend. He's my friend. To see him go like that, motivation for me. Matter of fact, when he passed away, believe it or not, she let me preach his funeral. And I kind of covered some of the stuff, right, back then. Now, I didn't go in detail like I am here, but I wanted to show him, because they knew what happened to him. I kind of wanted to show his mostly unsaved people what happens and the state he was in between salvation and not walking with the Lord. And the only mistake I made is I figured, well, someone's going to talk to me afterwards, and I'll be able to help him out. Only one talked to me was me. I think you were there, Danielle, right? And another gal was saved. I was like a bad stink. I mean, it's like, you know, Dr. Rockman would say, you go in, fly in, and give the gospel, boom, 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 and bail away, right? Sometimes you have to do that. Get the truth out there, boom, 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 and then bail out. Maybe I should have bailed out. I wanted to be there for the other folks. Hey, you got something to talk about? You know, they didn't want to avoid me like the plague. But you get the words out. It falls out there. That's not your job to do the, where our job is to just basically plant seeds. So very important here. We're in the business of reconciliation through the Word of God. Okay, I'd like to sing a last song here. Mr. C, if you come up. I have a hymnal here. I would like to sing together, if you don't mind. Let's see what hymn that I have in here. Number 253. If we can sing this congregationally. 253, I think it is. 253. Lord, I'm coming home. Now I'm going to turn my microphone off because you don't want to hear me sing, okay? But I can lead a little bit. Let's just sing, folks. Do you mind standing up a little bit here? Standing up. We'll sing this hymn. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide the arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. On a second. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. Repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more. Open now the way. Hold on a minute. Folks, think about that. There's something in your life, Lord, that you maybe need to settle with the Lord. Got something going on in your mind that maybe you're thinking about just walking away from the Lord, or something you maybe think about doing. Don't do it. You got a friend or a family member. Don't let them see end up like this up from Richard. Don't do it. Try to restore folks to the Lord for His glory. That is the most amazing thing. God is in the business of giving you a second chance and third chance and fourth. Amen. That's that grace of God. We love the grace of God. Hey, if Richard would live in the Old Testament, he'd be dead in hell. Amen. I'm glad we're under grace here. Amen. Ain't that great? Hey, think about that. Ain't that glad we're where we are today? Amen? Let's sing the third one, please. Father, for an opportunity just to have a testimony, a service, Lord, we can learn about something that was tragic for a believer. And I'll know I'm going to see Richard again, and I'm going to hug his neck and cry and laugh. And I'm sure he'd appreciate me trying to remind folks, Father, like the rich man that was lost in hell, he wanted his brothers warned about this place. Now, Richard's been there for 5 years in glory, and he probably wishes he would have maybe done some things and made some choices, Father, that would have been better. So I just pray, Lord, we can learn from them, Father, and be able to not repeat these things that would be a hindrance to not glorifying you. So we ask these things. Thank you for the folks out here. May they think about these things today and throughout the week. And we ask these things and give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.